Thank you for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This episode was recorded on the 30th of June, 2017.
This version of the show is the same Geekly you know and love, minus all of the bits where we played music.
Since, you know, we like artists to get paid fairly for their work.
If you want to hear this show as you would have heard it live, songs and all, check out our Mixcloud channel at mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Enjoy the show.
Hello.
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 Hello. Oh, well, hello.
Hello.
In the week that the oldest emergency service in the world, 999, became an octogenarian and turned 80 years old.
Wow. Yeah. The week that a bakery in Hoboken, New Jersey started making bagels the size of car tires that can feed up to 30 people.
Wow.
Want
a lot of food. And in the week that a team of scientists from Sungsil University in Seoul, South Korea, I hope I said all of those words correctly, suggested that we replace the sound of car horns with a duck's quack.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
In all of those weeks, this is the Geekly Chronicles. Hello.
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 This episode, we have all of your favourite features, like Would You Fund It, Kid Politician, and a Hoboken bagel-sized game of geeks.
Ooh. Excellent.
Later on, we will be joined by Paul Hill. He's an astronomy expert, and he's going to help us get our heads around Asteroid Day.
And when we say get our heads around, we mean get so terrified about our impending doom, you might want to huddle up under a duvet with a hot chocolate.
Keep the radio on, though.
Yes.
Yes. And keep your requests, tweets, messages and thoughts coming in. You can join our chat room on gkly.co and chat along with the show. Tweet us requests or dedications. And if you're using our fancy new iOS app, you can get in touch with us right from the contact tab.
Now. You can. We usually start the show with something upbeat, but today's show we're going for something a little bit different. This song scored the biggest first day of sales of any single in the UK this decade.
Wow.
It's a charity single raising money to help the Grenfell Tower victims, and it's a lovely cover of Bridge Over Troubled Water. So our thoughts out to everyone involved, and this is for them and for you.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Wow.
What an amazing cover.
It's beautiful, really. So that was Bridge Over Troubled Water by Artists for Grenfell.
Yes.
It's a whole collection of artists that have come together to record that charity single. Very touching. Touching tribute.
Mm.
Yeah, the bit of poetry at the beginning. And that, yeah, really catches you, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yes. So, of course, please do, if you haven't already... If you want to and you can support, go ahead and buy the single. You can get it on iTunes and Amazon and pretty much everywhere digitally. And I think you might even be able to buy a CD if you go into a CD shop.
If you can find one.
I found a HMV the other day and I went in there and there was almost nothing in it.
Oh.
I'm somehow not surprised.
Yeah.
Disappointment.
That's a good... So, Catherine, before the song, you mentioned an app.
Oh, yeah. We have this pretty nifty iOS app these days that lets you listen to the show when it's on or listen back to past episodes on the go and do things like request songs and call or text us here in the studio. What's cool is that you can also use it to AirPlay us to things. So if you're an Apple aficionado, you can get us just about everywhere.
You're an Android user, aren't you, Catherine?
Yeah.
Is there an app?
Coming soon. Yeah. but the mobile website, that's awesome too. Mm-hmm. So Android users can get us there.
That's
or, you know, Windows phone users or...
Both of them.
People with
Blackberries.
Blackberries.
Do you have a Blackberry? Contact us now.
If you still can.
Be amazed.
BBM us. Why not?
I never used BBM.
I don't know how it works.
No, you can only. I think you can only do that if you have a BlackBerry, and we don't.
No, I think they made it so that you can do it.
I did have a BlackBerry once upon a time.
But
back
you never
when
used
they were cool.
BBM.
No, I never used BBM because I was the only one of my friends that had a BlackBerry.
They were only cool because business people had BlackBerries, and then they bought them for their kids. So they had a momentary kind of they're cool, and then they went very out of fashion very quickly again. Mm-hmm. BlackBerry rode that wave and it crashed onto the shore.
Yeah, my favorite thing.
Rocky beach.
My favorite thing was how people always said, "Yeah, BlackBerry QWERTY keyboards on phones never catch on." Look at us now.
No, no, my phone doesn't have a QWERTY keyboard.
Not a real one, but you still...
No, it still has a virtual
one. Appears
one.
On the screen. Yeah,
totally. Anyway.
Yes.
It's like crowdfunding without the funding or the crowd.
Now, it's time once again for our fictional foray into crowdfunding. Every episode, we take an idea that you, the listeners, have sent us and turn it into a pitch. Throughout the show, you get to vote on whether or not you would fund it.
Indeed, you do. This week's Would You Fund It suggestion was sent in by Simon, who said, and I quote, "Wouldn't it be funny if you could trip over small children and not get in trouble?"
Wow, that's a pretty dark suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it would require some dodgy lawyers on retainer. You know, I have a soft spot for a few fictional lawyers of questionable morality.
Yes, you do, don't you?
Well, let's see what would happen in a world with trip hazard protection. Oh, they're everywhere.
I know, right? There are spiders everywhere in this park.
What? I'm talking about all the children.
Children? What's wrong with all that?
They're everywhere. And they're a constant hazard.
A hazard? How is a kid a...
Ow! Hey!
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
You trapped me!
See?
Hi, disembodied advert voice here.
Oh, not this again.
Do you keep tripping over children?
Is this voice following us?
Are you, through no fault of your own, frequently kicking small children out of the way without even realising they're there?
I am, actually.
Really?
Well, there was this one time...
Well, never fear. Trip Hazard Insurance is here with our new kid policy.
Trip insurance? Is that like travel insurance?
Never again can a child claim that it's your fault. Our new insurance policies ensure that you're covered and stay blame-free. After all, why were they running around in the first place?
Because they're children?
Yes, but children have angry parents, and those I want to avoid.
Slap those angry parents with a cease and desist, knowing that, with Trip Hazard Protection Insurance, you're always covered and never in the wrong.
I think maybe this is going a bit far.
Policies start from just 65 Frenobian wooden dollars a month. Call 555-123-TRIP to get your policy now.
Oh, stop following us.
No.
Well,
that voice is oddly familiar.
I thought that too.
Yes. Well, now you, the listeners, get to vote and decide whether trip hazard protection would be something you'd invest in.
You can head over to our website and vote at gkly.co/fundit, or you can vote using our Twitter poll at twitter.com/gklyco.
Indeed, you
vote
can.
Vote now at gkly.co/fundit.
The thing I love about this... Because we've had a couple of Would You Fund Its now where there have been the disembodied advert voice. Mm. And the thing I absolutely love is when we first came up with it. It's like, oh, imagine if Kez was plagued by this voice that just follows them around and advertises things at them. Then they invented Amazon Alexa.
It doesn't quite follow me around, but certainly at home...
It would listen. It listens to you all the time.
It listens to me all the time. So would it get to the point, and will things like Alexa get to the point where I say in the kitchen, oh, that's it, that was my last bin bag, and it goes,
why not
do
try?
Do you need bin bags?
Yes.
We currently have an offer on these. Would you like me to have them arrive tomorrow?
Or within the hour, if you live in the right place.
Yeah,
that's
so true.
Weird.
I suppose they already have dash buttons. Which,
that's true.
You know,
yeah.
You could have one right next to the bin, which ordered you bin bags.
There's
a dash of a button.
Wand now as well.
I did see a really nice tweet from someone this week saying, "I have glued a dash button to order new bin bags to my bin. My bin is now Internet of Things. I am available to do conference talks."
Yeah,
well, I suppose that's all you need to make you an Internet of Things expert.
Mm. Pretty much. But yeah, it's kind of. It's scary that things now advertise and talk at us, but you know, you heard it on this show first. So where did they really get the idea?
Well, Lemon Elemental in our chat room has said that they had a BlackBerry, but it fell off a table and wouldn't charge. So aww. I had to watch the power slowly drain out of the phone forever.
No,
oh, poor phone.
That's sad.
Poor phone.
It used to be possible to get your BlackBerry on Orange, says Lemon Elemental, but you couldn't pair it with Apple.
Oh, dear.
The jokes. Anyway.
Yes.
Please do get your requests coming in. You can join the chat room to do that. You can tweet them at us. Basically, any way you can get in touch with us, you can get us a request. But first up, kind of on a bit of a spacey theme this evening.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
I wonder why.
Yes. I wonder why.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Mama always said Geekly's like a box of chocolates, except it's already been eaten.
Yes.
Well, I like chocolates. Don't have them very often. So, 999, the UK's emergency service, is 80 years old.
I didn't realise Michael Burke was that old.
Yes, 999, the TV show, of course. Very famous here in the UK for being, well, doing dramatic reconstructions of
emergency call-outs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. It was a bit like air crash investigation before air crash investigation. It was that same
sort of
kind
of low key.
Yeah, know? It was very low key.
Sort of somebody falls off a bridge into a river and like breaks their leg, and then they call 999 and
everything was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the way they had like the dramatic reconstruction. So they had the actors playing parts, and then they had the family were all being interviewed and stuff. So it was very kind of, I mean, we're having this discussion earlier, weren't we? TV is a lot slower in the past than it is now. It's much more fast paced these days. So I think, you know, what is now things like air crash investigation, that's very...
Although they still do those kind of, you know, police shows and stuff, don't they? But I think now they, you know, they weave the stories in amongst each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I think, you know, on 999, it was kind of like, well, here's a story.
Each episode was a story, wasn't it?
Or I think it was like two or three, maybe.
Right.
But it was like, oh, we're going to spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about this.
Mm. Yeah, and it is, and you know, obviously everything's more terrible now, so nothing's as nice.
Sure,
nothing has as happy an ending as it used to. Is that just age? Call in
probably.
If you're old and think everything has less of a happy ending.
Don't
than
call
it used
999.
To. No, call us.
Call
us. Call the show. But back to 999.
Yes,
back to the
actual emergency.
The 80th
number.
Birthday of. Of the first ever in the world, the first ever emergency service. It started out in London. It was just one city at first. Mm-hmm. Dial 999, and they would ask you whether you wanted the police, fire, or ambulance, and then they would put you in touch with someone urgently. Any guesses as to the second city that launched?
Are we pretending it's not written down in front of us?
Yes, thanks for giving that away, Skylar.
Great. Well done.
So yeah,
top radioing.
Second city that was launched there was in Glasgow. Those were the only two that launched before.
Is that because they
the
were
war.
The cities with the most emergencies?
I think so. Yes. In London, everyone was like, "Oh no, my top hat's on fire!" And in Glasgow, everyone was like, "Oh, my top hat's on fire!" So yeah,
yep,
same
that
thing.
Sounds like Glaswegian and is yes. In no way offensive.
Yes, I know. Please do feel free to call in and complain about me. To 999, obviously, not to me.
Don't call 999, kids.
So,
it's an emergency.
So London and Glasgow were the only two cities that got it before the war, the Second World War, and then rollout continued in the UK. So it was UK-wide by 1948, which is pretty cool. And then all over the world, there are obviously others that have come online at different points. Here in the UK, we had full coverage of an emergency service by 1948, which is pretty cool. But 80 years ago, this week. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing that this thing happened.
So I really wonder what that first call must have been. You know, who was the first person to think,
I had a bit of a Google
this is
earlier,
worthy of
but I couldn't find it. But apparently they had 1,000 calls in the first week.
Wow.
But I don't know if they necessarily kept records. They probably didn't record them back then.
No.
So I don't know whether they kept records of what they were. But I couldn't find it by Googling. Maybe someone knows.
Still, I suppose, you know, not everyone would have had a phone. I mean, I certainly know my mum's family didn't have a phone until, you know, well into the 80s. So, yeah, that's quite impressive. 1,000 calls in a week in 1948.
Mm. 97% of calls are now answered within 5 seconds, which is a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
Can't argue with that.
But I was amazed, absolutely amazed, to hear that 35%... calls that come through to the emergency services are non-emergency or hoax.
That's quite a
lot. Is that kind of handbag dialing?
So some of that is handbag dialing, but some of them are just really, really ridiculous things. So, you know, I think, you know, public service announcement here. The emergency services is meant for, wait for it, emergencies.
Shocker, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I don't understand. I've never understood. I have always been terrified since being a child of accidentally calling the emergency services, right? Terrified of it. It was instilled in me that you never do it. But listen to some of the things that people have called 999 for. So the advisor says, do you need police, fire or ambulance? A young caller says, mountain rescue. The advisor says, where are you? And the caller, who was apparently quite young, said, I'm on the top bunk and I can't get down.
Wow.
Okay.
So a child there deciding that that was 999 worthy.
Uh-huh. And obviously, you know, yelled, Mom! A few times.
Here's another one. Someone called up and said, I need the police, please. It's my daughter's wedding day and her dress doesn't fit anymore. I need the police and come and help me get her into it.
Which, surely the army would have been more appropriate for that.
You would have thought so, or even mountain rescue.
You know, but, lots of like ropes and pulleys.
Yeah. But, you know, there's no way of telling whether that was genuine stupidity or just someone trying to be funny. Here's a good one. Do you need fire, ambulance or police? I need the police. I ordered a takeaway that cost me £30 and they took it to number 6 and I live at number 7. So number 6 has stolen their takeaway and they think it's a police matter.
They think it's not only a police matter, but a 999 emergency instant response police matter for £30 worth of noodles.
Now here's someone who needs to learn where the correct help desk is. Do you need fire, police or ambulance? My laptop password won't work. Can you reset it for me? No, but wait, there's more. The advisor said, dear, that's not something we can help with. And the caller said, could you call my service provider and get them to ring me back?
Oh, dear.
Wow. I need an ambulance. What? My husband has lost his pyjamas.
Right. Okay. Ambulance worthy because?
It's quite urgent. My rabbit has escaped. I need help. That's another one.
These people need to learn to Google.
Yes. Yes. All of these things are just, like, I'm surprised that 999 doesn't have a let me Google that for you
option.
It just, they send a text back going, you idiot, try Googling this.
Yeah, you can Google stuff.
Can I get the police? Someone has stolen my snowman from my garden. Can you come quickly? It's melting.
How do they know it's melting if someone's stolen it?
Figured probably the weather got warmer.
Well, they might have stolen it in like a refrigerated van.
Perhaps. That's a lot of effort to go to steal a snowman.
Maybe it's like a snowman preservation service.
The Snowman Preservation Society.
Well, that's a would you fund it.
That is a would you fund it. Another one. I need to cancel my hairdresser's appointment. It's an emergency and I can't get through to the salon.
Wow.
And last but not least, I need an ambulance. There's a seagull with a broken arm. Like, I admire the wanting to help an animal, but also 999 is a human service.
Yes.
And also, there's a seagull with an arm.
We should
headline.
Be worried about that.
I think maybe they meant wing.
Although my vet does have a pet ambulance. I mean, you don't ring 999. There's a different number.
Sorry, your vet has an ambulance for pets or a pet ambulance. Like, just has a little ambulance.
A little ambulance that they bring along and lead.
Does it have, like, does it need special food and, like, a litter tray?
It's an ambulance for pets. You can call the vet.
I should
clarify, the vet for my pets, not my vet. I'm a human. But
there's,
allegedly.
Yeah.
But so, I'm mainly dancer, actually, but we'll move on.
There's a lot of questions this is generating. You don't have
I have cats that live with my mum.
Okay, right, okay. This is getting less confusing.
So in the UK, we're celebrating 80 years of our emergency service. There are loads of them around the world, though.
Yeah, all kinds of numbers.
So here it's 999, in the US it's 911. Various places in the world use 112, 18, 17, 000. One
Australia.
Country uses the number 354-570-2112.
Catchy, helpful. I'll remember that in an emergency.
Well, it did remind me of this fantastic sketch that was on the IT Crowd a little while ago.
Yes.
From today, dialing 999 won't get you the emergency services. And that's not the only thing that's changing. Nicer ambulances, faster response times, and better-looking drivers mean they're not just the emergency services, they're your emergency services. So, remember the new number. That's...
Two, five. That's easy to remember. 0118-999-88199-9119-725-3.
Catchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to my shame, I can actually recite that from memory. So Lemon Elemental in the chat room has just shared a story from 2014 from the Metro that says, police stumble across man's cannabis factory after toddler accidentally calls 999.
Well, that's not okay, necessarily a bad thing.
Yes, I need more info
wonderful.
Here.
So Greater Manchester Police responded to a 999 call. So sometimes, not always, but sometimes if the police get a 999 call and there's like sounds on the other end but not a person talking, they will send police to investigate the call because, you know, something terrible might be happening.
Could be happening, yeah.
So they did. This toddler was playing with his phone, accidentally dialed 999 and was making toddler sounds. So they thought, oh, God, let's respond. So officers rushed to the address, which was in Salford, to investigate the emergency call and were speaking to the occupants on the doorstep when they smelled cannabis. So decided to investigate. They found 9 cannabis plants and what is believed to be a small amount of the cultivated drug in an upstairs room of the property on Bournebrook Avenue in Salford.
Wow.
So... don't let your kids accidentally dial 999. You might get busted for having a cannabis farm.
Well, I mean, I'd need to have a cannabis farm first, and I don't have one of those.
And a 2-year-old.
I don't have a cannabis farm. Or a 2-year-old.
There's quite a bit of admin that needs to be taken care of before we worry about it.
But it's very interesting that you say about the them investigating calls. I mean, the last thing I wanted to say on this is that actually many countries have what they call a silent solution for 999 as well.
Yes.
And this is another, you know, don't use 999 unless it's an emergency. But if it is an emergency and you can't talk
for whatever reason,
if you've dialed 999, once the call has been picked up, if you dial 55, they will automatically triangulate your address and respond to the call because that's the 55 is like that. They call it the silent solution. That means I need
it means
help.
Like that you they consider it unlikely you'll have done it by accident.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So that's the official thing. Official in with most emergency services around the world as well. If you dial 55 once it's picked up, that's called the silent solution, and you will get a response. So
that's useful.
Handy little public service announcement.
In this country as well, I don't know about elsewhere in the world, but you can also text 999, which is very useful. You get a slightly slower response than you do if you call, so only do it if you absolutely have to. But if you text the word register to 999 now or whenever, you can sign up to be able to text 999, so you can send a text message if you need to, which is great for people who are deaf or hard of hearing and can't make a phone call.
Well, suffice it to say, we owe a lot to the emergency services, the amazing work they do in every corner of the globe.
Hang on. Corners of globes. The globe doesn't have corners.
Yeah, it's physically impossible for any globe to have corners.
Let's
definition.
Move on, shall we?
Yeah, why not? Well, it is also National Cream Tea Day today.
Oh, well, that was a missed lunch opportunity.
Yes. Now, I'm wondering... do you, here in the studio and you at home, make yours the Devon way or the Cornwall way?
What's the difference?
So in Devon, supposedly they put the cream on the scone first, followed by the jam. And in Cornwall, the jam goes on first.
Okay, well, it certainly sounds to me like Cornwall gets it right.
Right, Cornwall, I think Cornwall I'm probably way is the right way. A Devon girl.
Thought you were from Swindon.
Well, you know, when it comes to scones. To me, the cream is like the butter when you're having, like, bread and jam.
No. Because it's about consistency.
Here we go.
The jam is like, if you put the cream on first and then you put the jam on, the jam scrapes half the cream off. So you need to...
But you just have a spoonful of jam and you plop it on.
But the cream is more suited to a spoonful.
Oh dear! Right.
What kind of rock hard jam are you eating?
clearly not Devon jam.
No.
So the more important question, anyway, other than you know cream then jam or jam then cream, is it scone or scone?
This question just never goes away, does it?
No,
it will be the last remaining question in the universe.
Yeah.
I think I accept that it's spelled scone, but I was brought up saying scone, so.
I mean, I love that when we wrote all of this in our show notes for today, we've just written two identical words, and on paper they both look the same. So why can't we just agree that both ways of saying it are okay?
It's like when we did that poll for animated images on the last show.
Yeah.
So how do you say it, Kez?
Let's go.
Okay.
Well, personally, I love all baked goods equally, which does segue us nicely into the fact that it's the last day of Pride Month.
Equality and all that.
Yes, indeed. Pride Month, this wonderful celebrations where brands jump on bandwagons to prove how diverse they are.
I can't deny that. But it is also a time to celebrate the fact that we're all diverse and wonderful, and to highlight the struggles that many of us faced in pursuit of acceptance the world over. There are loads of events like Pride that mark the month itself, but it is all about celebrating diversity and highlighting equality. Up next, we'll be talking to Kid Politician about equality, but sadly not about cream teas.
Indeed.
No. We've taken... What am I even saying?
I've no idea.
We've no idea how Kid Politician likes his cream tea. Here's a song to help us all remember that jam first or cream first, it's just gone. That makes it awesome.
It's good.
Okay.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
It's like the Archbishop of Banterbury and a Bantosaurus Rex and a Bants baby, and it's like top, innit?
Hi, I'm Kid Politician. Every show, I take a look at the world of politics and give you my view. I mean, sure, I'm a kid, but aren't all politicians? This week, I want to talk about equality. In my opinion, we should all be equal, but we aren't right now. And that sucks worse than getting, like, gravel in your shoes or something. America, and a lot of other countries a bit like it, are kind of unequal because there's loads of really rich people, yet loads of really poor people struggling to pay their bills. How is that fair? Let me give you a hint. It's not. Some rich people are helping. Look at Bill Gates and people like that, giving away their money to help cure diseases all over the world. But what's Donald Trump doing with his money? And what about all those people in the middle just kind of awkwardly staring at what's happening, but not doing anything? There's no such thing as an innocent bystander, right? There's a big gap between the rich and the poor. What about the fact that people just aren't nice to each other? In some parts of the world, people are doing really not nice things to LGBT people. I know loads of LGBT people, and they're all brilliant. They deserve hugs, not horrible. It's completely stupid, the things that they have to face. Like with people who change or question their gender, and in America they're forced to use the bathroom for the gender on their birth certificate. That's just not nice. Not nice at all. And when you see photos of people like Donald Trump or Theresa May giving speeches about how great they are, did you notice that they're always surrounded by a bunch of white dudes? It's baloney. Baloney macaroni is all I have to say to that. How do they represent everyone? What makes them qualified to make decisions for everyone? It's just not fair. And sure, we've got a female prime minister, but when we've got nurses in food banks and loads of people on the streets, I don't think you can really say that makes us good at equality. So what's my Kid Politician manifesto on equality? Hug everyone, love everyone, be nice, done.
What a lovely message.
Indeed.
Baloney macaroni.
Oh,
I think
that's my favourite phrase ever.
Yeah.
Baloney macaroni.
That. Blowing my mind.
I will, that is going to be my new ringtone, baloney macaroni, I think.
Wonderful.
It's Kid Politician saying baloney macaroni whenever I get a text message. just lovely words there, I think. So thank you, Kid Politician, for once again bringing your positivity and light to the show.
Absolutely. And speaking of positivity and light, speaking of nice things, Germany just did a same-sex marriage typey thing.
Woo-hoo! Woo!
I think Kez is happy about that news. Woo-hoo! 80% more or less apparently voted in favour in the German parliament, however that works. Notably, yes. Angela Merkel didn't.
But
80% support is still pretty good.
Yes.
Generally.
I was looking on our little jingles board here to see if I've got any kind of celebratory noises. This is about the best I can do.
Is that kind of a gay wedding alert?
Yes, every time there is one, it's like, okay, everyone, awesomeness is happening over here.
Yeah. This klaxon is gay now. There you go.
We've appropriated the klaxon. Yep. The klaxon is now gay.
Yeah.
We are delighted to inform you that.
It sounds like somebody's about to get kind of gunged with rainbow gunge whenever I hear that now.
That is what happens at a gay wedding. Did you not know?
It's like a 90s.
What I want at my wedding.
It's like a sort of 90s game show.
Fun house. It's a whole lot of fun. Gay weddings to be won.
That's
exactly what it is. It's all fun house.
Oh. Yeah, brilliant. I want to get married on Fun House.
I think you should. I want to marry Pat Sharp.
you come in your go kart and you end up in the ball pit and.
I want Pat Sharp to officiate my wedding.
A ball pit
at
a wedding.
How old Pat Sharp is now?
Catherine has a look at that. Yeah, I like, you know, the Saturday morning Nickelodeon shows where people got gunged.
He was born in 1961.
Okay.
So really?
So he's 55.
I'm doing a Google image search. I'm only finding 80s mullets. Oh, wait.
there are a few more recent ones.
I would still marry Pat Sharp.
I think this,
this show's taken a turn already.
Would you marry it? This is our new feature.
This is the cleanest game of Shag, Marry, Kill we've ever played.
Wow. So I think at this point in time, I think it's only fair that we start penning a love letter to Pat Sharp. Dear Pat.
Oh, he does have a wife, Monica Sharp. So it's kind of moot whether or not you'd marry it.
Yes. Although, moving slightly away from Pat Sharp, but
do we really have to?
Only a little bit, because it's sort of relevant. You're right there.
I'm not moving away from Pat Sharp.
Okay, I'm gonna do my thing.
Please feel free.
You can keep this playing. It's just gonna add some. It's gonna add a weird dimension to it. I did see a wonderful article this week in the Metro describing exactly how that gunge you get on Saturday morning Nickelodeon kids shows is made.
Oh, really?
Which is
it
quite
looks lumpier
weird.
Than the gunge we used to have in the 90s.
Yeah, so there's all different kinds of gunge, as it turns out, because like every show, every kids show has its own sort of gunge recipe. And, like, there's gunge or slime.
So what is in it?
Well, it started back when they first started using it. There's a video you can watch on the Metro website.
It should have been me!
Sorry, that You're was right like, the entire gag I was going for.
Okay, well done.
That's my message to Pat Sharp.
Either that or you're doing a kind of Oscars style, you know, stop talking, Skylar. Yeah. The band has started playing.
I'm going to let you finish, but...
Yeah. So, Nickelodeon gunge started off as vanilla pudding, applesauce, green food colouring, and a little bit of oatmeal.
See, that sounds quite tasty, but also quite expensive.
Yeah. I think there is a better way of making it now, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
There's a wonderful Wikipedia page called Gunge. That I just want to say that again. Gunge. It's such a lovely word, isn't it? But yeah, there's like it tells you all about the history of gunge. But I think there is a rule that gunge has to be edible, because if they're going to pour it all over you, it's plausible it might go in your mouth.
That is fair.
You know.
So interesting approaches to gunge. when they've on other shows that where people are acting, they've got a far less safe method, because I remember hearing an interview. The first generation of the first series of Star Trek: The Next Generation. There was an episode that had a big kind of black puddle swamp monster thing, and that was dragging people into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was apparently made out of just loads of toner.
Oh, wonderful!
Emptied and mixed up with like paste and water and stuff.
Black, wasn't it?
But
it
yeah,
was,
apparently.
It was like... Oh, it was horrible.
Everyone was complaining of being really ill afterwards and stuff. But
not surprised.
Well, yeah, you're just taking a bath in toner.
So it's been shoved through a photocopier.
Sorry,
I'm
glad to hear that not everyone takes the human photocopier approach to gun. Yeah. It's amazing how we got into that from talking about the amazing same-sex marriage bill passing in Germany.
Yeah. The conversational places you can go if you travel via Pat Sharp.
Mm-hmm. But it is Pride Month, so we should absolutely celebrate diversity and embrace
indeed
embrace equality. In every possible way that we can, I think, because it's wonderful. And there are lots and lots of events happening all over the country and all over the world.
Yep.
Lots of them. Look it up. Just search for Pride in your area. There are so many, we can't list them.
You can pretty much just Google
search
the word
for
Pride.
Pride in my area.
Please make sure you've got safe search turned on.
Well, that's wonderful. Actually much cleaner results than I expected.
Good
so
stuff.
There you
Thank
go.
You, Google.
Wonderful.
Yep. But to celebrate, I think, and as we move on to other parts of our show, here is a very upbeat and uplifting song that pretty much sums up my feelings and the feelings of most of us here in the studio about the world.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
It's like Ask Jeeves, but three times as smart.
Well, I do love that song.
Yes. Before we move on, we've had a tweet from Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hey.
Donna says, definitely the Cornish way, and scone or scone, however you say it, rhymes with gone. So Donna would say scone.
Mm-hmm. No, that's probably because she's in my family. So, you know.
No, Donna, I must protest. It rhymes with gone.
Gone. Well, okay, keep letting us know on
That's
Twitter.
That's going out the window, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yep. That joke's not going the way you wanted it to. But
it has not gone the way I wanted it to at all.
It's not going well for you. But do keep letting us know on Twitter and in the chat room how you say it and whether or not you're cream first or jam first. But first, Kez, you've got some new spectacles.
I do. They're amazing. These are my Snapchat spectacles.
Snapchat spectacles?
Yes. Snapchat spectacles. These are new wearable technology, or new pieces of wearable technology that are made by Snapchat, which is the photo sharing app. And we've seen lots of wearables that have come out in recent years. Obviously, there are smart watches, which are very popular. But the only real kind of wearable on your face so far has been the very experimental Google Glass. But, you know, that was very experimental. That was very chunky. Like, you know, it was a screen that you could kind of see in the corner of your eye, and it had, like, cards on it and stuff. I tried one out. They were kind of cool, but very distracting.
Yeah.
The idea behind
Snapchat...
I could
never get it to work.
No,
because I need... prescription glasses to see. I could never get it to like focus so I could see it. It was just sort of a glowing blob.
Yeah, I mean, I wear glasses, but I can kind of see close up without them. So I took them off to try out Google Glass, and it was fun, but not very practical.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea behind Snapchat spectacles is very different. It's not the same thing as Google Glass at all. These are sunglasses, basically. They're quite funky, I mean, as you can see here, they come in this nice little yellow carry case.
Ooh, very yellow.
And the case actually charges them, which is quite cool. I've opted for the black version, but you can get different colours.
Of course you can.
I didn't realise you get different colours.
You can indeed get different colours. And it's just essentially a camera, but it's very clever. So it does video and photos. You stick them on like glasses, so like this. You can see me here wearing my beautiful Snapchat spectacles.
I can see you have a glowy temple.
Yes, well, so it's got two kind of round things that look, as you can see here, they're kind of...
round yellow circles.
They're symmetrical to each other, so on either side. Only one of them is a camera. The
other one is a
ruse. On the right-hand side. The one here on the left where I've got this cool button that I can press and it just looks like I'm adjusting my glasses, which is quite cool. That is like an indicator, so it'll actually show people when I'm filming. So there's no way to turn that off, so there's no kind of secret filming. If I press that and it's going round, like you can see here, I'm taking a little video, that's it recording. And I can take up to 30 seconds of video, snap a couple of pictures, stop the video recording.
Because I need some Snapchat specs to be able to take a Snapchat of you explaining your Snapchat specs.
That is true. that is very true.
We'll put some Snapchat specs snaps on Snapchat.
We will.
How does that sound?
Yeah, you can actually add us, listeners. You can add us on Snapchat. Are GKLYCO, the same as we are on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else on Snapchat.
And if you do that, you'll get to see something cool after the show, because we will be snapping the arrival of a chocolate pizza from Domino's.
Ooh. Yes. So in a week of trying new things, I'm trying out these new spectacles, but also we've seen some reviews for these chocolate pizzas come in for the first time that Domino's have just started doing.
And you know how we like food.
Yes. So it's going to be, so it's got like a cinnamon crust?
I don't know. I was just looking at pictures and thinking it looks a bit like there's sort of some cinnamon sugar on the crust, but I've no idea if that's true.
So cinnamon sugar crust, a bit like they would put garlic on a savoury one, and then just chocolate, and there's what, an icing dip that comes with it?
So I've seen in a tweet that somebody posted.
Sounds very tasty.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
I am excited for
chocolate
this.
Chocolate pizza. And I think that of Snapchat spectacles and chocolate pizza is the weirder thing of the two of those. Mm.
Slightly. I have had a chocolate pizza before, I should say, but it was slightly different. The chocolate pizza I've had before was pure chocolate. Like, they just essentially made a disc of chocolate and decorated it with, like, bits of fudge and chocolate.
See, I haven't had that before, but what I have had, when I lived out in the US, this amazing place near Bloomington Normal in Illinois where I was living, they did these fruit pizzas. So it was essentially a pizza base, standard kind of dough, but it was then, instead of the tomato sauce, it was like a marshmallow fluff and white chocolate sauce, which was amazing. And then rather than putting cheese and other bits and pieces on, they cut up strawberries, put strawberries on it. They cut bits of banana, put banana on it. They cut up loads of bits of really lovely fruit, put it on there.
Nice.
Throw in a few chocolate chips, like milk chocolate as well, to kind of give it a bit of extra texture. Like milk buttons instead of little bits of pepperoni. Mm. Whack it in the oven, bake it, take it out. Amazing. So I feel like I want to try making a fruit pizza again now that Domino's have started doing these chocolate pizzas. Or maybe Domino's are missing a trick here and they should start doing the fruit pizzas as
maybe
well.
Maybe they're just testing the water with the chocolate pizza.
Maybe. Maybe we'll get a whole range of sweet pizzas.
We might end up with, yeah.
Oh, those fruit pizzas are amazing. It's been so long since I had one, but I can't even remember the name of the place that did them. But if you are listening from Illinois, and if you know the place in Bloomington Normal I'm talking about,
do get in touch.
Get in touch. because I would happily save up for a flight just to go and eat that fruit pizza again.
Just get that.
Just go to Illinois for a couple of days.
Googling it.
Eat fruit pizza. Yep.
Well,
amazing.
But speaking of food and indeed the USA, because this is another story that's come out of the US this week. Massive bagels in Hoboken, New Jersey.
So wait a second. Massive bagels.
Yes. Huge bagels.
I feel like they'd definitely be on the Tiny Kettle lunch menu if they could deliver to the UK.
I'm pretty sure they would be.
Okay, so just how massive are these bagels exactly?
Well, apparently they are the size of a car tyre, and not the tyre of a small car. They can be cut up to feed about 30 people, each slice being the size of a regular New York bagel.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of bagel.
I mean, I want to try that, but I kind of want to try a slice of it. You know? I don't want to try and eat the whole thing.
I feel like if I ran a bagelery, I would...
A bagelery.
It's a word for that, right? Yes, I do.
That's the kind of thing you'd call 999 for. Help, I'm being bageled.
Being bagelerized.
There's a bagelery happening. I'm being bageled.
Oh, dear.
Bagelerized.
Anyway,
I'm being bageled.
If I ran a bagelery, I'm sticking with it. I know what I said, and I'm sticking by it.
Okay.
I'd probably like make a few giant bagels and just like sell the slices. If someone orders a giant bagel, if someone came in and said, "Can I have the 30 serving bagel?" I would probably say, "Is this actually going to be a good decision for your health?" That's a lot of bacon.
But if they were saying, I'm taking it back to the office, or I'm going to take it to feed a family of 30.
It would be like those sandwich platters that offices order in for meetings.
Yeah, that's basically like getting a bunch of Subways, right? Yeah. So it's, I really want to try this now, though. I looked at a picture of it earlier when we were doing the research for the show, and it looks incredible.
Yeah, there's a little video, I think, on the link we'll share on Twitter, and just watching them put sort of the kind of the seedy topping on it. It's just so much stuff.
That's incredible. I just want a small bagel now.
Yeah, any bagel will do.
During the next song, I'm going to run and find a bagel.
Well, yeah. It's been one hell of a week for food, hasn't it?
It has. But also for AI as well. Catherine, you found a bot.
Never a good start.
You found a bot.
I don't know if there's much intelligence in this artificial intelligence, but I've but it's wonderful all the same. It's called InspiroBot. Artificial intelligence dedicated to generating unlimited amounts of unique inspirational quotes for endless enrichment of pointless human existence.
Well,
you know, just this trend of sharing images with, you know, inspirational words over the top.
Yeah.
Which is just, just makes my heart utter cry
nonsense,
a little bit.
I think is the family-friendly way Catherine was going to say that.
Instagram and... Even on LinkedIn. Oh,
LinkedIn.
That's the worst place.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
But anyway, so InspiroBot, you kind of go along to inspirobot.me.
Uh-huh.
And there's just kind of an eye looking at you. And you hit the generate button, and it will make you an inspirational quote image.
Here we go then.
So I've got an image here. It's lots of poppies, a poppy field. Maybe crisis can be thoughts if you... You can step outside your bubble.
Yeah, it's put you twice, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You.
Wonderful.
It's the you, not just you, it's the you.
Maybe crises can be thoughts if you can step outside your bubble.
Well, I've got...
Is that like sorry, sorry?
Oh, sorry, not sorry.
I've got someone who appears to be in a coat and hat and stuff, walking away from the camera towards what looks like a sports game in the background on some kind of pitch.
American football match, maybe?
Yeah,
it's
something like that.
Black and white, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's all black and white and moody. And the quote says, "Don't look down. You're the only one who cares."
Wow.
It's actually pretty bleak.
They are bleak. My one is just snow. Snowy scene with a couple of bare, icy trees in the background. And it says, "People who can buy confusion... can learn from fiction."
I don't understand.
It makes no sense.
I was going to say, it kind of makes sense.
I mean, it almost makes sense.
I mean, isn't buying a book like buying some confusion? Especially if it's sort of a whodunit or something. You know, you're just buying temporary confusion.
This one is brilliant. I think everyone that's ever... worked at a hipster startup, as I have before, can appreciate this one. It just says, "Seek love, hype cash."
Yep.
I've got one that's sort of scary in an authoritative state sort of way. There's a person staring at a blank wall, and it says, "Society does not want you to feel negative."
Ooh.
Which is a bit Black Mirror.
It does.
I've got a really good one here. It's kind of a space scene. So Ooh. Quite appropriate for today.
Yep.
We've got some kind of nebula in the background. And it says, "Sadness is not the same as a waiter coming to kill you."
Wow. That is some Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy stuff right there.
Mine have all gone...
That would only happen at Milliways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine have all gone really 1984. I've got a scene with some balloons in an otherwise blue sky. And it says, "You are about to turn into an indoctrinated human being."
Okay.
Scary. Well,
you can going find back and this thinking, at, sorry, go yeah, on.
Well, I was going to say, you can find this at inspirobot.me if you want your, and I quote, "pointless human existence enriched." We have tweeted a link.
Indeed, yes. And as Catherine said at the start as well there, inspirobot.me, interesting place to go if you're bored, I suppose.
Yeah. It'll entertain you for at least 30 seconds.
But thinking along the themes of space, and we did mention that it was Asteroid Day and Meteor Watch Day. We have a guest coming up very shortly, the amazing Paul Hill. More from him after the next song. But continuing our theme of appropriate songs now, this one is a personal choice of mine from the soundtrack to an amazing show called Steven Universe. There is a singer-songwriter in there called Mr. Universe, and he sings this incredibly relevant song.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like a brand new combine harvester, but we'll be keeping the key, thank you very much.
Joining us now to celebrate both Meteor Watch and Asteroid Day, and the fact that our planet remains largely undamaged from giant death meteors, is someone who's come about as close to getting into space as you can without actually being an astronaut. host of the Awesome Astronomy podcast, founder of Sirius Astronomy, and ESSERO ambassador, Paul Hill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So for any of our listeners out there that spend more time looking down or at their phones than up, maybe, what does astronomy mean? What does it cover?
Well, you know, what doesn't astronomy cover? I mean, astronomy is one of those areas which in some respects is its own science, I like to think. It's often lumped in with physics. But actually, it's a science in itself. I mean, if you go back to sort of classical education, actually astronomy was its own field completely. And I mean, when I studied astronomy, I've studied planetary science, so how planets form and things like that. So that's geology. And you spend a lot of time looking at the geology of planets. I've studied astrophysics, you know, how the stars work and how the galaxies work and cosmology, how does the universe work. And then even astrobiology. So we start looking at sort of the process of evolution. How would we find life on other planets and things like that? If you're going to be a purist, astronomy is the study of the sky.
Your mission that you have taken on, it seems, is to educate us all a little more on these things. Where did your passion for astronomy come from?
Oh, goodness me. I have been doing astronomy in some sort of form for, well, over 30 years. I was at primary school when the Giotto mission. So if you know the Giotto mission, that sort of date stamps you for a start. And it was Europe's first deep space mission. It was the first spaceship that Europe, the European Space Agency, had sent really sort of beyond Earth orbit. It was built in the UK, so that was sort of, as a small boy, that was quite exciting that we'd built a spaceship and it'd gone somewhere. And of course, the Giotto mission went to Halley's Comet. So I was in that generation that was fortunate enough to see Halley's Comet the last time. And that was fantastic. It was the first thing I saw through a telescope. I remember going to a local astronomy group in Stevenage, good old Stevenage, where I grew up, and they showed me Halley's Comet through a telescope, and I was completely spellbound. And of course, then followed this mission and the series of missions around Halley's Comet. My first book in astronomy, I still have it on the shelf, is Halley's Comet, and it's just a little kid's book about what comets are and what this mission and what Halley's Comet was going to be like and things like that. And I think I read that more times than I care to imagine. I read it. And it's always grown from there. And I sort of got my first pair of binoculars and sat in the garden, drove my parents up the wall for years, sort of sitting in the back garden till all hours, sort of drawing stars and star clusters and finding my way around the sky. And here I am, more than 30 years later, still doing it. And pretty much still doing the same thing I was doing when I was 8 years old, actually. Sitting in the garden with telescopes. Much bigger than I used to have, drawing the cosmos, and now I spend my professional career talking about it and trying to get people interested in it as well.
Well, the Giotto mission's not one that necessarily people recall straight away when we start thinking about all of the rovers that we've had on Mars with NASA and all that kind of thing. But it was really pivotal at the time. I think there were a lot of firsts on that mission, if I remember correctly. I think it was the first spacecraft that returned from interplanetary space to come back and swing around the planet.
That's right, yes, it was. And it was the first probe to visit two comets. I always forget the name of the second comet it visited. But it was the first spaceship to plunge into the tail of the comet. It was the closest probe that had ever been to. It took the first pictures of a nucleus and the sort of inside the coma. It got to, I think it was 660 kilometres from the nucleus, which I think today, you know, with Rosetta, in fact, today I'm wearing one of my Rosetta mission T-shirts. I worked on a primary school outreach programme for Rosetta. And of course we landed on a comet, so, you know, it's not just a few kilometres, we actually touched one. But back then, I mean, back in the mid-80s, to have got that close to Halley's Comet was incredible. It was a sort of incredible feat of engineering and planning. And it was Europe's first deep space mission. So it was very exciting at the time. It sounds very passé now, but it was very exciting back then.
Now, as we've mentioned, it's Meteor Watch Day today.
Yes.
I know the difference. Well, I know that there is a difference between a meteor and a meteorite, but I always forget which way round it is. So is it a meteor when it's on Earth or when it's in space?
Right, well, it's actually three terms. So you have a meteoroid, which is not one you hear very often. And this is the rock in space. And then we have a meteor. This is when it passes into Earth's atmosphere. Now, technically, anything that enters Earth's atmosphere, you can classify as a meteor.
So, I mean, it's interesting that you talk about the difference between a meteor and an asteroid being size. As while it's Meteor Watch Day here, there is also Asteroid Day, which is also today. Why do we celebrate them differently? What is the difference between celebrating a meteor and celebrating an asteroid?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't know why we have Meteor Watch Day on the 30th of June. I have no idea. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere, especially at this latitude, it's a rubbish place to watch meteors on the 30th of June. We're just past the summer solstice. The sky is too light. The ideal conditions for meteor watching is dark. You need it to be really dark because some of the really faint stuff, some of the those little grains of sand, they're really faint. And in a really nice black, inky black sky, you'll see them. In the middle of June, it never gets dark. I mean, between the end of May and the end of July, we never leave astronomical twilight. Now, I imagine a lot of listeners don't know there's such a thing as astronomical twilight. There's actually three twilights. We have civil twilight, which is when the streetlights come on and people think it's getting dark. For an astronomer, it's still daytime. There's nautical twilight, which is when ships put on their lights and ship's captains think it's getting dark. And again, astronomers still think it's daytime. And then there's astronomical twilight, which is the point where it's actually getting dark, and that's when an astronomer goes outside and starts sort of setting their telescope up. And because, of course, the solstice, where it gets lighter and lighter and the night gets shorter and shorter, between the 23rd of May and the 23rd of July, we never leave astronomical twilight. It actually never gets dark. At sort of the latitude of the UK. So a lot of astronomers kind of give up this time of year. I was doing an astronomy event in Kent last week, actually, and we were having to wait up till midnight to get anything. But then we've got Asteroid Day. It's become World Asteroid Day, and that happened 3 years ago. And you've got to thank Brian May for that. And that is the Brian May of He Who Looks Like Isaac Newton. In Queen. And he actually is an astronomer. He's actually Dr. Brian May. And his big field actually was a thing called zodiacal light, which is a dust cloud that's around the sun that you can see, and if the conditions are perfect at sunset, you see this sort of cone of dust that appears just above the horizon. It's really difficult to see. And his PhD was in that. And so he's always had an interest in meteors and dust and asteroids and things like that. And he got together with a whole bunch of astronomers and physicists and such like, even a filmmaker who made a film called 51 Degrees North, I think it's called, 51 Degrees North, which was about an asteroid impact on London. And not that great a film, I have to say. And they decided that we should have a day where we would try and raise asteroid awareness because, of course, this is a threat. This is something that, I want to just say, can happen. It will happen. It will happen. That the Earth will be hit at some point by a large asteroid. It's just an inevitability. Now, that may happen tomorrow. It may happen next year. It may happen 3,000 years from now. It might happen another 20 million years. But the Earth will be hit. It's a shooting gallery out there. The Earth has constantly been hit in the past. It will be hit in the future. We watch other planets, the moon, being hit by things all the time. And in fact, Earth is hit by these things regularly. But we're talking about sort of something large, cataclysmic. Should we do something about it? This is the great, I say million-dollar question, multi-billion-dollar question about whether we should actually do something about the sort of asteroid threat. How big a threat actually is the asteroid threat? Depends who you talk to about sort of how important and how desperate the asteroid threat is. It's one of those very slim chances. The sort of idea that an asteroid will collide with Earth in the next year or two and destroy civilization it's a very, very slim chance. It's very, very, very unlikely. But if it happens, it will be absolutely devastating. I've heard people say, well, you know, is it as bad as climate change? Well, the thing is, climate change is actually happening. It is there. We have to do something about that immediately. It is something that, we are dealing with. An asteroid threat seems very sort of... it doesn't seem real. It still seems the realms of Hollywood. So this whole day is the idea of sort of trying to raise awareness of this, that we can do something about it. We're now at a point in human history where we have the technology and the means to actually stop this happening. We can spot these things. We have the technology to do that. We also have the technology to actually change the course of an asteroid to prevent this from happening. The problem is, at the moment, our best, you know, a large asteroid coming in from the outer solar system, say, you know, a comet or something like that, that was spotted on an impact course, it's about 6 months is the best warning we'll get. And that's really optimistic. And then how long will it take to build the thing that will move it to nudge it off course? And it would only be a little nudge. Probably looking at 10 years. We're looking at the Apollo program to make that happen.
What is the least believable fact you can tell us about space?
The least believable fact about space. That is actually true. I think probably that one of the coldest places in the solar system is Mercury. And that's the one that I get asked about a lot. Sort of, you know, where's the coldest place? Where's the hottest place? People have this impression that Mercury is going to be automatically the hottest place because it's closest to the sun. But it doesn't work like that. And actually, the hottest place in the solar system is, in terms of just sort of generally, is Venus, of course. Surface temperature in the sort of 470 degrees. Mercury, actually, as much of its surface is well below zero. It's actually really cold. There's water ice on Mercury. If you go up to the poles and the craters that never see sunlight, there's actually water ice on Mercury. It was actually a fact that Patrick Moore, bless him, he almost refused to believe.
Can you bust any space myths for us?
There are plenty. I mean, I spent a lot of time. I was spent the last 3 years working on the Tim Peake education outreach stuff and going around schools talking about our astronaut. And there's things like your blood boiling in space. That's a great myth. Or that your head explodes. You know, if your spacesuit leaked or you took your helmet or something, your head would explode. In both cases, there's a similar sort of answer in that actually the human body is a sort of self-contained vessel. Taking your helmet off in space is not advisable, but your head's not going to explode. And your blood is not going to boil. Actually, the reason the blood boils in space is if you put some liquid out in a vacuum, of course, you reduce the boiling point and it just, you know, the lack of pressure on the liquid allows it to expand into a gas. That happens to the liquid on your tongue, it'll happen to the water in your eyes and things like that, and in your nose, you know, it's pretty gruesome. And it'll happen to some blood right in the surface of your skin, but actually the idea that the blood will boil inside you is a myth. That's untrue. Your body has its own internal pressure that will maintain. And you're pretty stretchy as well. So while you'll expand slightly, you won't do your sort of Violet Beauregard impression, you won't turn into a massive blueberry. You will expand. It's what happened to the crew of Soyuz 11. So we know this is absolutely what happens to you, because the crew of Soyuz 11 in 1971 unfortunately got exposed to the vacuum of space. The Soyuz 11 broke, emptied all its air out, and the crew died. They're only crew to die in space. And they do expand. Your body does puff up. If you've ever seen the great marshmallow experiment in a syringe where you can sort of create a little partial vacuum, make a marshmallow expand. Your body does that. And the liquid, so your sweat, your tears, your mouth water, things like that, blood just in the capillaries around the skin, that boils, that turns to gas. Nothing you can do about that. But actually, inside you don't boil. Actually, the most horrible part of your sort of exposure to vacuum is if it's a sudden vacuum exposure, what will happen is all the air in your lung will leave your body at supersonic speeds and probably blow your teeth out. That's probably the sort of best, most gruesome bit that sort of your typical 8-year-old enjoys. But actually, your head won't explode. You're very stretchy. The human skin is like a big balloon. So that's why that's one of the great myths, you know, that you'll explode or boil in space. That's not true. Other great myths. I mean, there's so many. Black holes is a great one. I love people have this sort of image of black holes being these sort of big sucking vacuum funnels, you know, sort of like discs. I think Doctor Who was guilty of it last week, which is a really great episode, by the way. But they had that spaceship that was sort of being pulled towards a black hole, and the black hole was just, oh god, it's the typical tornado view of a black hole. It looks like a big sucking funnel. And they're not at all. They don't look like that. Black holes are a sphere. They're a dead star, and they're surrounded by a sort of envelope of space-time that is folded in around itself, and is essentially a sphere.
Let's bring ourselves back down to Earth, both literally and metaphorically, from thinking about black holes and our blood not quite boiling in space, but it's still not being a very pleasant experience.
No, I don't recommend it.
No, although great if you happen to be a space dentist, I suppose.
Yeah, you'll be in work for a long time repairing that.
So how can people get started here on Earth watching the skies and getting involved in astronomy and astrophysics and all of that amazing stuff?
There are so many ways. You can start at the very basic level. It's just going outside and looking up. So many people don't. Even if you live in a big city like London, for instance. I mean, I used to live in London and help run various astronomy groups and things in London, and it's perfectly possible to do astronomy in even a big light polluted city like London. The number of people who don't look up, you can always tell someone who does astronomy, by the way. Watch people walking out the pub. The group of people who walk out the door and immediately look up and stare at the sky, and that they're the astronomers, because it becomes addictive. You want to know what the sky looks like at any given point if you can see it. But just looking up, just going outside, trying to find a constellation or two. So, you know, starting with the basics, the asterisms like the Plough and Orion in the winter and things like that. It's amazing how many people have never seen them, never looked at them. You know, I've run various sort of star parties and events where you point to what I feel is a really common everyday constellation that people, you know, I feel should know and probably do know. And I'm sort of paying, like, if everyone looks at Orion, and everyone sort of looks up and goes, where is it? They're like, well, it's right there. It's, you know, it's clearly there. And you realise that actually people just don't even look up. So that's the start with. And then, you know, if you've got a pair of binoculars, most people have a pair of binoculars lying around somewhere, take them outside, have a sweep of the sky, you know, see what you can see. You'll be amazed how many more stars you can see. And the pair of binoculars will pick up some of the brighter nebulas, like the Orion Nebula, the Great Nebula Orion. It's very easy to find. M42. If you can get a broom, turn the broom upside down so you've got the head on sort of near your face, put the binoculars on top of that, suddenly you've got quite a steady mount, and you'll be surprised how much more you can see. Small telescopes. Don't buy the National Geographic crappy plastic ones, but, you know, a decent telescope for just kind of general use for someone who's starting out, you can pick them up for about, you know, £100, £120. It'll last you a lifetime. You know, you spend that sort of money on a telescope, you'll have that for life. I have my first telescope that cost me that sort of money. I've had it for years, and I still use it. I still go back to it, even though, you know, as I've got older, I've got, like golf clubs, you collect bigger and better golf clubs and things. It's the same with telescopes, but I still use my very first telescope. I still have it. I still use it all the time. Then going along to local astronomy groups, there are loads of them in the UK. They're popping up all over the place. Every town has one. Some towns have more than one. I mean, here in Wiltshire, I'm based in Wiltshire now, and I can think of four astronomy groups within about 15 miles of my house. And they're meeting all the time, and they run free events and things like that. Yeah, that's the really simple way to sort of go out and get started. They're a really friendly bunch. Just go along. You don't need a telescope. They'll let you use theirs. I don't know an astronomy group that won't let you use their telescopes. They're so keen to get people started. And then, you know, just watch the sky at night on the BBC, things like that. It's a great programme still. Really great sort of introduction to space. Pick up some good books. There's loads of great books out there. Some of them very, very readable. There's so many things you can do. Download an app on your phone. Find out what the name of a star is that you're looking at in the sky. You can find out very, very easily.
Great. That's loads of tips for how people can get started. You do a podcast about space. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I call that, that's the other great place you should start to do astronomy. This is the Awesome Astronomy Podcast. Now, we've been going for years. I think we're on episode... We just recorded episode 61, I think. And I say episode 61, there's actually been something like 200 episodes because we do lots of extra... We do various interviews with astronauts and famous astronomers and things like that, which we put out as extras. We also do a monthly sky guide as a separate podcast. There's like a little 10-minute sort of what's up this month. Here's some tips on what to be looking for. So I think we tend to put out about 3 podcasts a month. And our main show every month is an hour sort of magazine show of news, views, us talking absolute crap usually. And we generally drink beers and get more rowdy. There's 3 of us do it. There's myself, there's Ralph Wilkins, who's an amateur astronomer, very brilliant photographer of the sky. And Jenny Millard, who is a astrophysicist from Cardiff University, who sort of keeps us on the straight and narrow, and she keeps us up to date with all the latest research and ideas. It's great. We have a lot of fun, and it's free to download. And yeah, download away, enjoy, and send in us your questions and your opinions and things like that. The easiest place is www.awesomeastronomy.com. Nice and simple. And there you'll find the link to the various ways you can download the podcast. You can find us on things like Podcast Republic, we're on iTunes, things like that. We're also on Twitter at the, was it, we are Awesome Astro Pod. We are. And we're also on Facebook. If you do Facebook, I don't anymore. I decided that was eating my life. So, but we are on Facebook as well, and there's lots of great conversations and arguments and discussions and things like that go on. People share their astro imagery and things like that, and give great sort of hints and tips. We've got stuff on our website about how to do imaging and how to do astronomy and things like that. Just join in. It's all there. It's all free, and we're a friendly bunch, really.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your. Sharing your podcast, sharing all of the fantastic facts and busting myths, and telling us a little bit more about the world of astronomy, and helping us celebrate Asteroid Day / Meteor Day. And as much as we say celebrate, yes, we also mean be slightly scared of our impending doom.
I'd worry about climate change more, but be afraid.
Don't get me wrong. I can worry about lots of things all at the same time. So with that in mind, as I go and hide under my duvet for the rest of the year, we ask every guest on the show to pick a song to play. So what song can we play for you?
I've picked, this is always a really, it's the most difficult question to answer. And actually I've gone for Go. By Public Service Broadcasting, which it's a great celebration of one of the greatest achievements in human history, which of course is the Apollo landing in 1969, which we're very soon coming up to the 50th anniversary of 2019. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landing on the moon, and this is it to a beat, and it's fantastic.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll play that now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How geekly can these chronicles be? They're very geekly. The Geekly Chronicles.
Yeah, that went well.
Yeah, it did. Very good. Whoa, what a great song. And thank you so much, Paul, for joining us.
I really enjoyed that.
I learned so much. So yes, thank you. And I believe the Awesome Astro Podcast has just tweeted us and said, we'll have him back now. It's fine. It's
that's all right.
More chocolate pizza for the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed. There's lots of stories in the chat room of people who've been spotting stuff in space. Pink Fuzzy Sheep says, we used a spotting scope and looked at Jupiter and saw its 3 moons. We saw a fireball a few years ago and it was amazing.
Triple mooner.
Yes. Lemon Elemental is sharing a few stories from stargazing in a park in northwest London and seeing a bright distant star, which I'm surprised you can do in northwest London, but hey ho. Jupiter's moons from a space camp in remote Scotland in 2013. So, yeah.
Remote space camps in Scotland. If you go to the north of Scotland, you always see some amazing, amazing stars. But thinking of amazing stars, remember to get your votes in for Would You Fund It?
Yeah, that works.
Tell us if you would fund Simon's trip hazard protection idea at gkly.co/fundit.
Yes.
You can also get your requests in via our chat room or by tweeting us at gklyco. We might even play some of them.
Or indeed using the app or, yes.
Just, yeah, get them to us somehow.
Presenter versus presenter. Geek versus geek. It's a showdown of, well, it's a showdown. It's Game of Geeks.
That it is. Here we are again. It's time for me to pit Cairns and Catherine against one another in, as Hattie said, a showdown of, well, it's a showdown. At the moment, as we stand, coming into episode 4 of the series, Kez is on 2 points to Catherine's 1 in terms of show victories.
Turn up for the books, that one.
Indeed it is. Since taking over as quiz master, I don't know if Kez has won a series under my reign.
I have not. I did not win last series. I'm hoping to win this series.
Yeah, well, you are off to a flying start. Yeah, so
we'll get those Las Vegas odds for you.
Indeed. But as ever, we've got 3 rounds, the music round, the WikiHow round, and the wildcard round. And I will be asking questions. They will be trying to win points. And you at home can guess along in the chat room, which these two are not allowed to look at.
I'm saying goodbye to the chat room now.
Bye.
Excellent. But of course, to make this quiz work, we're going to need buzzers. So this week, Catherine goes...
Space.
Oh,
relevant. Ooh. And Kez goes...
Space!
Ah.
It's an nice. O and an R.
Yes, you get the explorer, you get the firm, and I get the madness.
A knight of the realm.
I'm the defective sphere of the group.
Indeed. So let's begin with round one, the music round. So as ever, I'm going to play 4 songs.
We're beginning with round one.
Yes.
We could begin with round two, I suppose.
I could. Why not? No. I'm going to start with round one.
Okay.
I'm going to play you 4 songs, and I want you to buzz in and tell me what you think the connection between these songs are. 4 points if you get it on the first, 3 on the second, 2 on the third, and only 1 on the fourth.
Okay,
so, fingers on buzzers. Here's your first clue.
The sun is out, today is new, and everyone is waiting on you.
Cares.
Is it?
Before you answer, do you know the song?
Yes.
Okay, good. We're doing well. Go on.
Song's about the sun.
That song's not about the sun.
Okay. It mentions the sun in it.
It said like the sun is out.
Yeah, that's the one time in the entire song the sun is mentioned.
Okay, fine. Songs that mention the sun. The sun is the connection.
No, it's not.
Okay, fine.
So, moving on to clue number 2.
Closing time.
Cares.
Things that manipulate and affect time. Time is the connection.
Time is the connection. Ooh. Coming in after 2 clues, you get 3 points there. We heard You've Got Time by Regina Spektor, of course,
I didn't know what that was.
The theme from what?
The theme from Orange is the New Black.
Oh,
on Netflix.
I have seen it.
I've watched some of it.
Didn't pay attention to the theme.
Many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was Closing Time by Semisonic.
One of my favourite songs ever.
It's about childbirth.
I know.
It is a lovely song.
Childbirth is my favourite. That song.
Childbirth is my favourite thing.
I'm disappointed that I didn't get to play.
Sorry, go on.
I'm disappointed I didn't get to play the other songs because, as I was saying to you both when we were preparing.
So, was it kind of. So, let's guess what they were.
Go on.
Was it like Time Warp?
No, that would have been good, wouldn't it?
Would have been a great one.
Go on.
Why can't I think of another
really
song with
obvious.
Time in it?
I went with...
For the Longest Time.
For the Longest Time. Whoa. For the Longest Time.
Goodbye to me tonight. Woo!
Anyway. That's quite enough of that, but that was, and of course...
That needs to be my buzzer 1 week.
Yes. And of course...
The second hand unwinds.
Literally, time after time.
You will find it. Time
time after time. There's a reason that was a clue four.
Yes.
If you needed to go all the way there, you're only getting 1 point. But Kez comes in after two clues and gets three. Well done.
Nice. Very good, very good.
Off to a flying start. Moving on to music question number two. Four clues. Here's the first.
Okay. There was a high pressure load
developing off the coast of the space. Kez.
Weather.
Bold.
Ooh.
And right.
Nice.
Coming in after the first clue.
It just reminded me a lot of the shipping forecast, but I knew the words to the rest of the song. I quite like the song.
Yes. yes, that's High Pressure Low by Against Me.
Yes.
It's great song. Great song.
It is a good song. What were the others then? What other, one of them has to be It's Raining Men, right? Because Weather Girls, Raining Men, Weather...
No. I should have. I really should have. But I feel like that would have been too obvious.
Why
like,
does it always rain on me?
That's another good song.
I have got one rain-related song, but it's neither of those. The one I went with... Baby, I hate days like
this when it rain. But it's Scissor Sisters there,
that's
right?
Rain by Mika.
Oh, Mika. Well, they sound the
Mika Scissor Sisters. But, yeah.
Sounded a bit Scissor Sister-y to me.
That was the third song. The second song I went with... Thunder in My Heart by Leo Sayer.
I see.
Thunder is weather. Sunshine after the rain or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should write these.
Yeah. I went more blatant than that, Catherine.
So anyway, how many points did I get?
So is the connection the sun?
The connection is weather.
I got the connection.
I know I was being funny because you said that for the first one.
Was that funny?
Ooh,
it's about as funny as your jokes.
Funny as your mum.
The smack talk. I can't bear it.
The smack is back.
I have to move on with the quiz because otherwise this will get ugly.
That moment where I almost thought you genuinely looked offended there, and I was like, but no.
No, that's just Catherine's face. But
oh wow.
But coming in after the first clue, you get 4 points, which puts you in a storming lead as we go into question number three.
Storming, very relevant. I see. Very good.
Yes. Didn't even do that deliberately. So, fingers on buzzers. Here are some more clues.
Okay. It's a mess, alright.
Yes, it's mine. What even is this? And now we're living in
the Victoria. Cares.
Okay, I have a few options.
Okay, yeah. Pick your favourite because I'm only going to accept one of them.
Songs about living in London.
No.
That's weird.
No, I can't take that.
Okay.
Okay. Space.
Well, I'm going to have a guess as well. Insurance.
Insurance. You're going to have a guess. At insurance.
Yep.
Talk me through your reasoning.
Well, you know, Victoria is used on the LV advert, isn't it? You know, which is for insurance.
No. It's not.
I hate to interrupt here. It smells like the somewhere else in the studio area might be on fire. Would one of you like to just check that out, being the other side of the studio? No,
just
through the door
just
and
double check.
Yeah, I'm not doing this to try. I can't see the questions. Just I can smell something. So I just thought I'd check.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
I thought there was a vague.
Not stalling for time. It was just that I want to check this smell.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Everything's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, good.
Good.
Okay. I was waving.
If we actually
at you,
had to call 999 from the studio.
Irony, right?
Yes.
Live on the show. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I should set something on fire.
Moving on.
Next clue then.
This is clue number three. Insurance is not the correct answer. And the song you're looking for, Catherine, is called Blue Van. Here's clue number three. Kez.
Areas of London.
I'm going to accept that because I didn't give you living in London. What the answer actually was, I've written down here, was tube stations.
Right, but
areas of London is a reasonable answer, so I'm going to take it. I just didn't feel like living in London was specific enough.
Okay,
but
fine.
Anyone want to guess what my clue number four was?
So we've had Waterloo,
Victoria.
Famous tube stations. There are songs about
the theme from Paddington Bear. Oh, of course, Baker Street. Ah, the best song.
Yes.
Such a good song.
Absolutely. I'm just going to let this play because I love it. But, yes.
I love that song.
Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty was my clue number four. The
Wicked.
First song, because neither of you seem to recognise it.
I didn't.
It's Mile End by Pulp.
I like Pulp, but I don't think I'd ever heard that particular song. How weird.
But that brings us to the last of the music questions.
Okay,
here's your first clue.
All right. Who cares if you disagree? You are not me. Who made you king of
anything? So you dare tell me who to be. Cares.
Disagreements.
Not the answer, I'm afraid.
So that would have been a very obvious one.
That would have been very obvious. And also probably like a third of all music that's ever been released.
Fair.
At least. But
fair.
That's not the Space. Answer. Catherine's going for a buzz.
I'm going to go for a guess. Royalty.
Ooh. Not the answer,
okay,
I'm
right.
afraid. So I'm gonna play you the next song in the sequence. Cares.
Dancing.
No.
What is it if it's not royalty?
Space.
Playing cards.
Is the correct
Boom!
Answer.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Of course.
In after three clues. Two clues, sorry. Catherine gets 3 points. Yes, that was King of Anything by Sara Bareilles.
Not got zero.
and then, of course, Dancing Queen by ABBA. So, yeah, King
so
and
you
Queen.
You would have had Jumping Jack Flash.
There was a nice red herring in there. I went for a bit of Ray Charles.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no
more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. I started that in completely the wrong octave, but there we go. And of course, for the last one, I went with one that I very much hoped you would have got it on. I'm a shade green.
Yeah.
The only card I need is the Ace of Spades. Ace of Spades by
yes.
Motorhead.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, well done, Catherine.
Well
that
done.
Is the correct answer. So you get 3 points at the end of the music round as we move into round two. Catherine is on 3 points, but Kez is in the lead with 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's quite a lead.
It could all go tumbling now.
Got it all to do.
It could indeed.
As they say.
But
on quiz shows.
We move into round number two. Which is around celebrating shared knowledge online. Did you know, for example, that if we lose cabin pressure, masks will drop from just above your head?
Okay.
But it's time for Kez and Catherine to guess what I'm trying to do when I follow a guide from the all-knowing website that features a 4-step mini-guide to touching your horse in its article named How to Get Your Horse to Trust and Respect You.
Okay.
It's time for Wiki How Do You Like Your Eggs in the Morning?
Okay.
So I'm going to read you some steps, and I want you to tell me what I'm trying to do. There'll be 2 points if you get it, if you hit the nail on the proverbial head. I'm not nailing anything in this one. 1 point if you're vaguely in the area. 3 steps here. Number 1, resist the immediate temptation. Number 2, use a home remedy. Number 3, address the cause. Kez.
Itching.
Is the right answer. It's how to stop scratching irritated skin.
Because at first I was thinking chicken pox with the resist the urge and then the home
remedy.
And then
it was the cause.
But the cause, it was like it must be like allergy, allergens. So yeah, that's where my mind went.
Well done.
Cool.
That's 2 points. Which brings us on to the wild card round. Now, this is the round I completely make up every single week. And this time, we're going a little bit fast paced for a lightning.
Oh no.
Lightning round.
Okay. Don't do fast.
Okay.
they're getting ready. Fingers are very much on buzzers. I haven't
got two whole hands.
I've even rolled up my sleeves.
You have even rolled up your sleeves. It's quite impressive the commitment.
I'm wearing a t-shirt, but I have rolled up my skin.
Disgusting. What's going to happen here is we are playing a round called Brians of Britain. And what's going to happen is I'm going to give you both 70 seconds and I want you, for a point each, to name as many Brians of Britain that I have on my list in front of me as you possibly can. Your time starts now.
Who's going first?
You buzz in.
Oh.
Space.
Brian Catherine Blessed.
It's correct. Kez?
Brian Cox.
Correct.
Brian May.
Correct. Kez?
You've taken all the ones that I knew. Brian.
I can't give you long.
Brian.
Buzzers are open again.
I can only think of Brian's I know, not famous Brian's.
This has gone really well. Oh, this is absolutely wonderful.
Was there like a Brian in the Magic Roundabout?
I'm going to need a surname. You've got 10 seconds
Brian
left.
Brian Adams.
Is not British.
No. It was the only one I could think of. The only other Brian I know.
3, 2, 1, you're out of time.
No. That round was rubbish.
Wow.
It was a
you
good round.
You don't know many Brians.
Why would we?
Because there are so many Brians of Britain. Blessed you had, May you had, Cox you had. Of the three Brians that either of you came up with, Brians you could have mentioned Kant, Eno,
who?
Sewell,
who?
Perkins,
who?
Hanrahan,
who?
McFadden,
who?
He was in Westlife. Alderson,
okay, yeah.
Epstein, Johnston, Clough, Paddock, Jones.
I don't
Morco.
Know any of these people.
There Brian Clough, was he a football person?
Yes. There are four options for Brian Smith.
We could have just guessed Smith.
Guessed Smith, yeah.
Like Smith, Jones.
Although I would have asked you which Brian Smith had you said Smith, so I wasn't going to give you the points. That
I'd said the first one.
Whatever.
But that's the end of the wild card. I'm honestly surprised.
I like that round, but...
Not
Brian's.
I do enjoy the wild card round normally.
That brings us to the end of the quiz, and I can tell you that with 12 points to 5...
Ooh.
This week's winner is... Kez!
Woohoo! Well done.
Well
thank
done.
You.
Another
I shall celebrate with
victory.
Chocolate pizza and spectacles.
Oh, those Vegas odds must have narrowed.
Significantly.
Yeah, that puts you on 3 shows to Catherine's 1 at the end of the 4th game of Geeks of the Series. So, you know, it's still mathematically possible for you to take the series, Catherine. Mm. Just, you know, harder now.
Yes,
harder. Well,
but that'll be back on the next show.
Well, coming up after the next song and the last song of the show, indeed, we will have an update on Would You Fund It. Get your last votes in.
Yeah, get your votes in.
Yep, and if you want any shout-outs or anything, please get in our chat room, tweet us, all of that kind of thing. But to round off our theme of, a very...
Spacey McSpaceface.
Spacey McSpaceface songs this evening. I can't press that.
You tried to press.
If you're a regular listener, you'll know it's time for the Geekly Chronicles. If you're an irregular listener, you need to eat more fibre.
So I've checked on it.
Uh-huh.
And there was a Brian in the Magic Roundabout, Brian the Snail.
Ah.
So I think I should have got a point for that.
Well,
okay, if we give you an extra point for that, then I got 12 and you got...
6?
6.
6.
Yeah, so I'm only, you know, half as good as opposed to less than half as good.
But I'm not
with that. You are more than half as good as me.
But I'm not going to give you an extra point because Brian the Snail isn't human. So
hey, you know, he's a British creation. You didn't say they had to be humans.
You said British
or,
Brians.
You know, non-fictional.
I met a cat once called Brian. There you go.
That's he is still a famous Brian. Points.
Yeah.
30 points. Is that what you're...
13.
13. Okay. All right, I'm going to award you an extra point, Catherine. There you go. I've written it on my post-it.
Cool.
And you are still not the winner.
Thinking of results then, how's Would You Fund It looking? So for those of you that weren't listening at the start of the show, for whatever reason, our Would You Fund It this week is a fantastic idea by Simon, who...
Fantastic might be a bit generous, but...
Wrote in and said, wouldn't it be great if you could knock children over and get away with it?
Yes.
Dark.
Thanks, Simon. you have voted.
We brought your idea to life.
We brought your idea to life, and you, the audience, have voted. Your votes have been counted and verified to the best of our ability, which means basically Catherine added them up as well. And
a button was pressed.
Yeah.
A button was pressed.
It seems that... Unfortunately, the audience tonight have voted not to fund.
Oh, that's a shame.
Trip hazard protection with 67% of the vote.
See, it was close, though.
Yeah, in a sort of a third of people decided to fund it and two-thirds didn't.
33.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but still closer than 100%.
Yes, yes.
We've had some 100% funded before, haven't we?
We've had one 100% not funded as well.
Mm-hmm. That was one of mine.
Yes, it was. Gotta love the Rickman factor. But yeah.
Ooh, or not.
That's... Or not, because they didn't. But yeah, that's would you fund it for this episode?
And do get your ideas in. Yes, thanks for voting. And do get your ideas in if you would like to see your would you fund it brought to life on another episode.
Yes.
You can submit those ideas at gkly.co/fundit.
Yes, you absolutely can. So there's lots of ability to get your ideas in, and we'll bring them to life as we did with Simon's and as we have done with James's and other people's this series as well. So give us your ideas. They can be wacky, zany, or just something that you genuinely think might make the world a better place.
Something you genuinely want.
Something you genuinely need.
Mm.
I don't know what that could be. I didn't think I genuinely needed Snapchat spectacles, but I do now.
Well, now, you've got them.
Now that I've
whether
got
you
them,
need them or not.
Well, now that I've got them, I just know that I like them, which is pretty good. So yes, yeah, I was just thinking, what a great show we've had, and then I got lost in thought about the show.
Wonderful.
Huge thanks again to Paul Hill for joining us and talking to us. Yeah, about. Real stuff, really, really,
real
good,
stuff.
Really, really interesting.
Talking about
stuff
real stuff
is
all the, as all the otherwise the other fictional crap things. That our other guests this series have. No, the real cool space things.
I have a sneaky feeling that something just arrived.
Might have done.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know more about that, you know,
follow us on
Snapchat.
Yes, mm-hmm. GKLYCO as we are everywhere else. Yeah. Definitely do that, but you know, by the magic of radio, I was never gone. yeah, it's been a great show. Well done, Kez, on your Game of Geeks victory.
Thank you
again,
yes,
storming
well
ahead in the lead there, Catherine.
Yep, leaving me languishing.
Buck your ideas up.
No,
quite frankly, it's been four shows.
My buzzer speed is lacking.
It is lacking, to be honest.
Yes.
Maybe I need to train with the buzzer.
Train with the buzzer, yeah.
Sort
spend
of come
some
into
time.
The studio and,
sort of
and just
buzzing.
Be like, you know, just sneak up on it like...
Space.
Like that, yeah.
I said,
wonderful. Yes.
Space.
You beat me. 3, 2, 1. Yes. 3, 2, 1.
Space.
Well,
if we could just have a buzzing contest, actually.
That'd be really good, actually.
I might pop that in as the wild card. Just buzz like, first.
We'll put a picture of these buzzers up on Snapchat because we do actually have these giant,
pretty funky light up
lit up
buzzers.
Green buzzers, which
it's
are quite
scary,
impressive, and the geekly colours and everything.
Yeah. I've turned them off because we've got a show to finish.
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, well, that is more or less the end of the show. We will be back. In 2 weeks, as we always are.
Yes, it is just about time to say goodbye.
We'll be back for the next episode on Friday, 14th of July.
Exciting times.
Yes. By which time I will have found a meteor to ride away on.
Wow, deep. I will have found a nice pizza to chew on.
I think there's one downstairs.
Chew? Yeah. I'll have stolen it and run away on a comet.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well,
I don't
indeed.
Know how I run on a comet.
You run away using the comet. The comet drives you away, flies you away. That's still not running.
Catapults
We're
me.
Putting too much thought into this.
Sounds really
cold.
Are. But until then, from me, Kez.
From me, Catherine.
And from me, Skylar.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Content was put between two slices of bread, slathered with garlic butter, and lightly toasted by Kestrel Guyon, Skylar McDonald, and Catherine Robinson, who are also your hosts for today's show. This episode's special guest was Paul Ryan, and this week's Would You Fund It was provided by Simon Fisher. The Geekly Chronicles is a Tiny Kettle production. Any reference to persons living or dead was probably down to our new script editor, George Osborne. Live long, prosper, and don't forget your toothbrush.
Space.
Hello!
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 Join us for the next insightful installment of the Geekly Chronicles on Friday, the 14th of July.
Did you know that July is Cell Phone Courtesy Month? Oops, sorry.
Luckily, we're going to be joined on the show by William Hansen, the foremost expert in modern etiquette.
Oh, I'm sure he can help us out.
On episode 5, Kid Politician will skirt around the scaly topic of Scottish independence.
Scaly?
Well, there are a lot of sturgeon up there.
If you'd like us to take one of your ideas and turn it into a fictional crowdfunding campaign, please tell us about it via the form at gkly.co/fundit.
So, join us at 7 p.m. in the UK,
2 p.m. Eastern,
and 11 a.m. Pacific.
On Friday, the 14th of July.
Live online at www.gkly.co.
Alonzi!